Well, Dr. Jeff Meldrum, I was very interested in your book on the Patterson film. I had, in fact, when I first got your book, that was the first thing I did. I went to the table of contents to go look that up because over the years, we've heard several different versions of how it was a hoax. And even recently, I think perhaps even in the same History Channel special that featured some of the interview with you, I thought they went through some of the bone structure and the way that this monster or, you know, image of a monster turned in the Patterson film. And if it really were, if it was a Bigfoot, then how would it have acted? If it was a human, how would it have gone? And so I thought, well, I wonder what he's got to say about this. And I was kind of surprised by the findings and the way in which you analyzed it, but we'll just start at the beginning. The Patterson film, for people that don't know, the one from, was it 1971 or two?
67.
I'm sorry, 67.
Yeah,
okay.
45
and what, that's right, and Patterson died in like 72 or something
I think
like that.
So, I think, yeah.
Right. And so, in a way, I mean, some people said he hoaxed it and didn't tell his partner and took it to his grave. Where are you with all of the discussions of the hoax of the Patterson film?
Well, as you point out, there have been a number of different pretenders rivaling for that that apparently coveted slot of being the man in the first suit. But upon examination, each and every one of those claimants' stories doesn't hold up to scrutiny. And, of course, their explanation, their allegations should be scrutinized, I think, just as rigorously as the claims that the film is authentic. You know, the most recent effort was Bob Hieronymus and Philip Morris, the costume maker, who laid claim, and their claims were documented in Greg Long's book. And upon examination, as I said, they just don't hold up. They don't account for the anatomy, for the dynamics, the kinesiology, all the aspects of the film subject as it's walking across that sandbar on that piece of that clip of film. Many of the skeptics, especially those who don't have the acumen to evaluate the film on its own face, take these very circuitous routes to try to debunk by examining the character, examining the context and circumstances, and those are elements that certainly need to be weighed in the balance. But the absence of a reasonable and a conclusive analysis of the film itself is, you know, it is a glaring gap in any argument against the film.
Well, explain what you think is captured on that film, which leads you to conclude that this is more than likely a real image of a Bigfoot walking across a sandbar.
Right. Well, a starting point for me, and probably the starting point for me, was because of my primary emphasis on the footprint evidence and the story, the tale told by that data set. That's where I started. That's where I began, was looking at the associated footprints that were documented on the sandbar, both by Roger Patterson and Bob Gimlin, at the time of the filming, but then were witnessed by multiple other witnesses, Lyle Laverty of Timber Cruiser, who was on the scene within just a couple of days, snapped off some photographs of some of the clear of the footprints, and some of those same prints were then further cast by Bob Titmus, who came on the scene sometime later. That documentation is really quite extraordinary. Titmus cast 10 successive footprints, irregardless of their quality. And so we have a very good record of the variation from step to step, the variation in toe position, the expression of that mid-tarsal break that I talk about in the book as well, the other characteristics of the foot that might not have been as apparent and discernible if we only had the single right and the left footprint that were cast by Roger Patterson himself. So it's an exceptional case of documentation of a long line of tracks. And then when combined with the film itself, where one can then also evaluate the kinematics, the movements of the film subject, and even details of the movements of the foot, this is clearly not, and anyone who honestly and objectively examines this film has to account for this. The feet that are evident on that film clip are not simple contrivances of carved wooden feet or some simplistic floppy artificial foot of a simple costume. Even some elaborate costumes that I have seen, the feet often come up very short of the mark. These feet show dynamic features and animation that are consistent with a living, articulated, responsive foot that show points of flexion, that show movement of the toes that are visible. I mean, that are visible in the film itself. Not referring here to the footprints now,
right,
but then which correlate with the footprints very nicely. And one of the things that really struck me upon looking at the film very closely, focusing on the feet, as there are several frames, series of frames that capture individual step cycles, where you can see as the foot swings forward, the toes dorsiflex or point upward just before the foot makes contact, and then they flex back down against the soil, against the sand, and that is something that you're not going to get with a Ray Wallace style carved wooden foot strapped to the bottom of a costume. The animation is just really amazing.